Matthew 22, 1 to 10, and hopefully through 14. Kai apo krithais ho Jesus palin ipen en parabolais autois legon. And Jesus replied again and said, you wouldn't say having replied, he said. It's a good example of how that aorist participle is really the same action as the main verb. He said, again, by way of reply, in parables, or spoke to them in parables, saying, homoi o the, third person singular, aorist indicative passive, from homoi a-o, to make like. So this would be one of those ones where you could say either the kingdom of heaven has been made like or is simply like, active intransitive. Notice that it's aorist. Often that's explained as being a reflection of the Hebrew perfect, which is timeless, like the imperfect is in Hebrew. So you don't have to try to say the kingdom of heaven has been likened to, and you know, it happened last week or something like that, but is like an anthropou basilai, a king man. A man, a king. Interestingly, a lot of parables for the rabbis have kings as their chief figure. Most of the parables for Jesus do not. Most of them are just a man, which may be theologically significant. Who made a gamus? Hostis is a relative pronoun. Hos and hostis were used pretty interchangeably by this time in Hellenistic Greek for his son. Now we'll just stop right there. When you're doing a parable, first thing you have to do is decode the parable. Who's doing what here? Well, a king is normally God in the rabbinic parables. A wedding feast is the messianic age. And the son is the son. So, basically, what this, for the hearers, would translate out as, is something like this. King, God, at the messianic age, is inviting people to be in fellowship with him. In other words, the people listening would not have said to one another, gee, who's the king? Or what's this about a wedding feast or something like that? No, you know you're dealing with God and you're dealing with the messianic age. Kai ap estilen, third singular aorist indicative active from apostello. And notice it's not just pempo, send with a commission. And he sent with a commission his slaves to call, kalesai, aorist active infinitive, tous kekle menus, the having been called and so in a called conditioned ones. So the called people, the called unto the feast people. In other words, those were the people who had the invitations in their hands. Not the ones who had been called, the ones who were called, were in a called condition to the wedding feast. And they were not desiring to come. Maybe in that imperfect there at the end of verse 3, you can see the kind of repeated situation where they went to one after another and the repeated answer was, we do not desire to come. Pollen, again, ap estylen, again, notice apostello, not pemple. Again, he sent other slaves saying, ipate. Second person plural, aorist imperative active. Notice the alpha in there. That's using the weak aorist termination on a strong aorist stem. Say to the called ones, behold, looky here. My ariston, my meal, often an evening meal or a noon meal. My meal, he toimaka. Ah, nice. Perfect active. First person singular. Perfect indicative active of hetoimazo. I have prepared so that it is now all set. Behold, I have prepared my banquet. Hoi tauroi, Taurus the bull, one of the constellations in the sky, my bulls, and ta sitista. The sitas is grain, so this would be grain-fattened animals. And my fatted calves, tethumena. Perfect passive participle from theo, which means to either sacrifice or to slaughter for eating. So that would be a perfect passive participle, neuter plural. It's interesting, what they've done is they have picked up the gender of the nearer of the two. Notice that hoi tauroi are masculine, but the ta sitista are neuter, those are the nearer ones, and they use tethumena for that. Are slaughtered, and all things hetoima are prepared. Note there's no verb there, so we always assume that it's the verb to be in the present tense, unless there's some reason not to think so. That tethumena is a very nice form there. Notice that when you reduplicate the front, when you have an aspirated consonant, you don't duplicate the aspiration. So it's not tethumena, because then you sound like you're doing that. So instead, they use the non-aspirated dental tethumena. Verb, and it just means here. Like if you say to people, here, come on over here, here, come here. So in other words, C-U-M-E-R-E, come here. All right, come here. To the feast, to the wedding feast. Hoi de amele suntes ap eilthen. Now, this is always an interesting thing. Does the hoi go with amele suntes and those who had ignored went away? Probably not. Probably hoi de is the other people in the conversation, and amele suntes is predicate position. And they, having ignored it, not having a care for it, ap eilthen, went away. Now notice how you have hus and then you have hus. That's like some and others. So you have some, two, or one guy, actually, one guy to his own field and another to his emporium, to his business. Hoi de loipoi and the rest of the guys, kratesantes tus dulus autu, having seized, krateo is to grab onto somebody, having seized his slaves, hubrisan kai apektainan them. Now you can see the word hubris in there. Maybe you know that from English. That's to be kind of excessively proud of yourself. So they buffeted them about. They acted in an extremely overbearing manner compared to them and killed them. Notice here, Greek does this a lot. Andy, I think Hebrew does this too, where they don't have to put the word them there because the doulos has come after kratesantes, so it's kind of the object sort of dropped in the middle there, and you just kind of assume that. Let me parse that apektainon for you. That's third plural, aorist indicative active from apoktaino. You can tell it's not imperfect because of the alpha before the nu at the end. Ha de basilois, but the king orgiste, got real hot under the collar. Orge is wrath. Orgidzo is to make somebody wrathful. Here's a aorist passive, probably used, Andy, in an active but intransitive sense. Became wrathful, and pempsas, having sent ta stratoimata out to his soldiers, his armies, you can see the word strategy in that, ap olesen tous phanois ekainus, ekainus, he destroyed. Ap olesen, that's from apolemi. Apolemi, apolo, ap olesa, that's the verb. Third person singular, aorist indicative active, it's a weak aorist. From ap olemi, that omega represents the augment on the front. He murdered destroyed those murderers. Phanois is the plural of phanois, those murderers, and tain polin auton en epresen. Boy, anybody can parse that one and tell me from where it's from. You get the call of your choice. This is really a tough form. It's from M. Pimpremi, which means to set something on fire. Pimpremi preso epresa. So, and he torched, it'd be just an excellent translation for it. And he torched their city. Then he says to his servants, now note the change to the present. At that point, you can see that this is going to foreground what's happening now, and this is kind of the real point of this thing. Then he says to his servants, Homen gamas hetoimos estin. The wedding feast is prepared. Hoi de keklemenoi, the guys with wedding invitations in their hands, uk eson axioi, were not worthy. Peroyas theu, therefore go out, journey out, take a trip out. Epitas di exodus ton hadon. Now I kind of looked this up just to make sure about this. This is kind of interesting. To the exoduses of the roads. Apparently this means something like the crossroads or the place where the road exits the city, something like that. So in other words, it would be a pretty, it's not the byways or something like that, but it would be the place where there'd be a lot of people, either at the crossroads or at the gate of the city. Go to the crossroads of the roads, and Hasus e'an hoirete, whomever you find, call unto the feasts. Now, let's parse hoirete, second person plural, aorist subjunctive active of hoirisko, and then hosus is those, as many as you discover, and the e'an is the alternative to on, which generalizes, all right? That generalizes from as many as to make sure that you realize it's kind of open-ended. When you put the on in there, that's the equivalent of on, that will take the subjunctive. Hence, there is the hoirete. Classical Greek would not have put the on and the subjunctive in there. They would have said as many as would just be fine. But when you have that generalizing effect, Greek tends to do that in the Hellenistic format. Whom, as many as you find, kalesete, second person plural, aorist imperative active. Note, please, there's no augment on the front there. That's an imperative. Call unto the feasts. Now, it's interesting, all of a sudden the feast becomes plural. I'm not sure about that. Maybe this is some sort of Semitic plural of excellence or something like that. Unless they were having parties going in dormi and in isolation and so on all over the place. Kai ex elfontes hoi douloi, and upon going out, those slaves into the roads, sun agagun, third plural aorist indicative active of sunago, they gathered together pontas, all hus, whom hoiron they discovered. Third plural, aorist indicative active. Poneirus te kai agathus, evil guys and good guys. and epleisthe ha gamos ana kaimeno. And the wedding feast, epleisthe, was filled, became filled. That's from pimplemi. Pimplemi, third singular, aorist indicative passive. Now, what's ana kaimeno? All right? It became filled with recliners at the table. That is to say, with banqueters. With banqueters. That would be, now DN, you'd like this, that would be a retained genitive in a passive formation, because any word for filling, pimplemi, pleirao, pleirafereo, all of those words will always have the thing that you have as contents in the genitive. That stays in the genitive even when you do a passive transformation. So it was filled. Now, what do we say in English? We say with banqueters. All right, let's go on to the end. Eis elthon, and upon coming in, the king, theasasthai. Ah, notice, theaomai is used, not blepo. To view. See, our word theater comes from that. So to view, so he came in to have a good look. So the king, having come in to have a good look at the anakinamenus, the banqueter guys, the guys reclining at table, saw there a man, uk endedimenon endimagamu, not, aha, perfect passive participle again, clothed, that's a masculine singular accusative, perfect passive participle. Enduma is also accusative. It's a neuter noun. We say with a garment of the wedding feast. There's our second, our double retained accusative. And he says to him, ah, ha ha ha, notice the ratcheting up of the thing by going to the present, foregrounding the discussion here. So now this is what we read. And he says to him, Yeah. Hetaira, friend. Actually, friend is always used in these sentences, just like people today use the phrase, that's fine, in the phrase. You can do that, and that's fine, but, which means it ain't fine. So friend tends to have a kind of an edge to it. Friend, how did you get in here? Me echon endima gamu, not having a garment of the wedding feast. There is an outstanding example of a concessive use of a participle. Even though you did not have. See? Not because you did not have, even though you were not having a garment of the wedding feast. Hodeh, switching the subject. And he, clump, was stifled. Fima'o means to muzzle somebody. He became muzzled. Just his mouth was stopped, so to speak. Then the king said to his attendants, diakonois, De santes autu padas kai chairas, having bound his feet and his hands, ekbalate, imperative, throw him into the darkness, the outer darkness, the more outer darkness. There will be hoklauthmus, the weeping, and the brigmus, the grinding of the tootheses. For many are called, now this is a last interesting line, for many are called, but few are eklektoi, few are chosen. I think the only way to understand that last statement is many are called and few wind up really on the inside. In other words, the way it's worded sounds like it's saying many are called, and there are a whole bunch of people who'd really like to be there, but I'm only going to choose a few, and I'm going to beat the rest off with sticks. Well, it doesn't mean that. The eklektoi are those who wind up at the wedding banquet. Now, I should say, and you probably all know this, but I'll say this anyway. There is always a dispute as to whether or not you should see the guy without the wedding garment as someone who has rejected the king's own overture. That is to say, it's been observed that at some of these great banquets in the ancient world, the people giving the banquet would supply the garments to go to the banquet because nobody had a prayer of having fine enough garments to come. See, be kind of like saying, and I'll give you a tux. Well, this guy then, sort of blowing it off, says, I ain't going to take that tux, and I'm coming anyway. So it could well be something like that. Two last thoughts. Remember, this follows the parable of the wicked tenants of the vineyard. All right? So I think you're getting the same thing at the beginning, namely the idea of the rejection of the called people of God, of his servants, and of their message. As it transitions, though, to the guy inside, I think we have a little bit of a move there. So all those people who are very smug and say, ha ha, so he's rejected the Jews, so we're, all the rest of us are okay now too. It's saying, not so fast, guys. Just realize what you're dealing with here. It's just not that simple that you can presume upon God. And there are various ways of presuming upon God. Okay.
The garment, if it's assumed that the king provides that, is that a way of saying you're invited on the king's own terms?
On the king's own terms, yeah.
Which he gives us by grace.
Which he gives us, yeah. See, and I think you can make that. Which he gives us by grace. Yeah. Now, I would think that at the end there of the first section, where he's burning the city and everything, you're going to, I think you have to see that as the destruction of in Palestine by the Romans and so forth. That basically these people did not come, and finally God closes the book. He not only does he call, but he sends servants out and says, not only were you invited, but come on, come on, now's the time. And he sends the people out and they kill them just like they killed the prophets and so on. So this is a little bit different than the previous parable where he finally sends the son. The first part of the parable is the same. The people are going out, and you know it doesn't have that particular son aspect to it. But I think the reason for that is the focus is probably changing a little bit from the Jews finally rejecting Jesus to just this sort of business where even the people who get in have got to watch out that they're not just punching God in the face like this too. Okay, very good.